This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. According to the Society for Human Resource Management, more than 90% of U.S. employers conduct background checks to screen job applicants. But restrictions can differ widely from state to state when it comes to criminal history questions. And that's even more true when the requirements involve different countries. So on this podcast, we'll examine what U.S.-based global employers need to know if they wish to conduct background checks abroad. And we'll do that with New York City employment attorney Erica Collins, who co-chairs the International Labor and Employment Practice Group at Proskauer Rose. Erica, welcome.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'll start with the $64,000 question first. Do U.S. companies face greater restrictions in seeking to conduct background checks abroad than they do here?
In many jurisdictions, yes. Written consent may be required, especially with respect to criminal background data, as well as information regarding credit or financial history. In some countries, such as Greece and Hong Kong, credit and financial background checks are prohibited by law. And in addition, in some jurisdictions, there may be no practical way to obtain background information, so that can pose yet another challenge. And indeed, I know in some other jurisdictions, such as Bahrain and the Czech Republic, applicant consent is required even to obtain educational and employment history. But maybe the better answer is yes and no. Because on the one hand, there are many jurisdictions outside the U.S., like the ones I just mentioned, that have substantive restrictions or prohibitions on background checks that are more stringent than those in some of the most restrictive U.S. locales. I would say New York City is now arguably the most restrictive given the recent passage of amendments to the human rights law that limit both criminal background and credit checks. However, what does not exist outside the U.S. are the highly technical disclosure and documentation requirements that exist here under the FCRA and state-level mini-FCRAs and other U.S. laws governing background screening. Failure to comply with these requirements can lead to liability for employers, even if the inquiry itself otherwise would have been lawful. And indeed, the existence of class actions can result in enormous liability for U.S. companies arising from using improper forms, especially problematic for large employers. Outside the U.S., however, the requirements are not so technical. That can actually be challenging in and of itself, though, as there are rarely laws that definitively state that a particular kind of check is or is not permitted. But huge liabilities resulting from what could be described as technical violations, as we see here in the U.S., is much less likely to occur.
Now, you alluded to the New York City ban the box law, restricting an employer from asking criminal history questions. And we've seen those laws sprout up in a number of states, banning those questions until at least the job interview stage. So can an employer ask those types of questions at all when interviewing candidates for positions overseas?
Well, that's a great question, David. Ban the box laws usually are more about the timing of criminal history inquiry rather than the absolute prohibition on considering criminal history, although sometimes ban the box laws do prohibit consideration of certain types of criminal records, such as non-pending arrests that did not lead to conviction or sealed and expunged records or convictions for minor offenses, or they require what is known as an individualized assessment, taking into account specific factors. Usually, the timing issues in the U.S. can be dealt with by waiting to do a criminal background screening until after a conditional offer of employment has been made. Outside the U.S., however, this is less likely to be a viable approach. This is because in many jurisdictions, the concept of a conditional offer is not recognized, and the lack of at-will employment means that there can be liability for withdrawing an offer of employment. Moreover, because the risks of discrimination claims, it is generally advisable not to inform an employee that the decision not to hire was based on the results of background screening, but this approach generally won't work if a conditional offer already has been made and would have to be withdrawn. Accordingly, in many jurisdictions outside the U.S., it is permissible and advisable to conduct background screening prior to making a conditional offer. I should note, too, that in some countries, questions regarding criminal background are permissible, but in many countries, obtaining and processing criminal data on applicants at all is not permitted. Countries that come to mind are Belgium, Colombia, and Hong Kong. In some other jurisdictions, considering criminal history information may not be prohibited, but it's still not recommended. For instance, in Brazil, such checks are permissible only when clearly and directly relevant to the position sought. And in Finland, a company cannot require an applicant to consent to criminal background checks or to produce information on his or her criminal history, and employers may not obtain an applicant's criminal history without his or her consent. Also, many countries do not permit spent convictions to be considered. A spent conviction is usually an old conviction, something that maybe is 10 years old. Also, in some jurisdictions, such as Ireland, there's no public database from which a company can actually obtain criminal records. The National Garda vetting unit in Ireland can do the check, but typically will do so only in very limited circumstances. Indeed, in Malaysia and Malta, only the police can provide this information. And in some places, such as Latvia, criminal background information may not be collected or considered even with employee consent unless the information can be shown to be of essential importance in assessing the candidate's suitability for a particular position.
And these are fascinating points you're raising, because using a third-party vendor for a background check in the U.S. is how we generally get information under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. But some countries, as you note, block third parties from obtaining criminal record and credit history information. So in that situation, what's an employer to do?
First, we have to back up. And when we say that third parties are prevented from getting criminal and credit history information in many jurisdictions outside the U.S., that would actually include the employer. There are a number of jurisdictions in which the policy authority and or financial institutions will not release information to anyone other than the subject of the information, him or herself, the actual applicant. In those jurisdictions, the only option for employers may be to require that applicants retrieve a copy of their criminal record or a certification that they have no such record and relevant financial information and provide it to the company or to the company's vendor if they're using a vendor. In any event, normally countries with robust data protection laws, such as in the EU, companies will enter into agreements with the vendors that they're using, and those agreements will have confidentiality and non-disclosure provisions, and will also state that the vendor will comply with all relevant data privacy regulations. Finally, if consent is required for the given background check in a particular jurisdiction, then that applicant should be notified of and expressly consent to the conduct of screening by the vendor and should authorize the vendor to share the results with the company.
Erica, you mentioned consent. What about privacy laws abroad generally? Can you briefly tell us how those factor in when running background checks internationally?
Sure. Anywhere there are data privacy laws, background checks must comply with the rules for collecting, processing, and transferring personal data, because just about any information collected in a background check is going to be considered personal data under the various regulations. So usually this will mean providing a clear notice of what information will be collected, how it will be processed and used, and to whom it will be transferred and disclosed. Express consent of the applicant may be required, particularly if the information is deemed sensitive under the data privacy laws, as is the case with criminal history information in many jurisdictions.
Now, the background check is only the first part of the equation, of course. The next is, what happens if an employer actually finds something of concern, even if it's not criminal? In France, the courts have held that if a successful job applicant lied about a diploma or provided false information, that's not enough by itself to nullify the employment contract, except in the case of fraudulent misrepresentation, which caused a loss to the employer. That's really quite different from here in the U.S. Does that match what you've seen, Erica?
Well, not really, because in this case, as in many cases, France is definitely an outlier. Many countries permit hiring decisions based on the background check, provided that it does not result in unlawful discrimination. That being said, many countries have the concept of what I mentioned before, spent convictions, which are the older convictions, usually 10 years or more, and do not allow hiring decisions to be made based on a spent conviction. But this also goes back to the timing issue, David. An employer often would have a lot more leeway to decline to hire someone due to the results of a background check, including a finding that an applicant lied about information that was provided, than it would to withdraw an offer of employment, or especially to terminate employment that has already commenced. This really goes to the fact that our concept of at-will employment is not recognized outside the United States. You know, I've done work in 150 countries. I think I found one country in Africa that recognizes at-will employment. So in jurisdictions that require cause for termination, the discrepancies on the application or lies even may need to be significant or material in order to provide cause for termination. Employers may be able to bolster their ability to premise a termination on those grounds by clearly indicating on their application forms and other disclosures that the provision of false information during the hiring process may disqualify an applicant from employment and or result in the withdrawal of an offer or termination of employment if local law permits.
Again, we're speaking with Erica Collins, who co-chairs the International Labor and Employment Law Practice Group at Proskauer Rose. Erica, are employers restricted in any other ways if they wish to condition employment on the successful completion of a background check?
Yes, employers really should use caution when making hiring decisions on the basis of an applicant's criminal background. In many countries, having a criminal background may constitute what we think of here as a protected category, and making decisions based on an applicant's criminal history could result in a discrimination claim. Serbia is coming to mind because I just had a project there, but that's the case in many countries around the globe. Also in Australia, for example, basing a hiring decision on negative information revealed during a credit or financial check may be considered discrimination against the applicant on the basis of social origin. I think it's fair to say that the majority of non-U.S. jurisdictions require what we would refer to in the U.S. as an individualized analysis before making decisions based on criminal or credit history that takes into account the relationship between the position sought and the specific information uncovered. Although more and more jurisdictions in the U.S. are heading in this direction, I think this is already really the default position outside the U.S.
Now, what's the biggest misstep that you see companies making when seeking to conduct background checks in other countries?
I would have to say, assuming that there's no problem with conducting background checks because they're used to being able to do them here in the U.S., provided they follow the required procedures. Also, I think I've seen this a lot, relying on a third-party vendor's advice or opinion as to the legality or advisability of conducting background checks. That tends to always surprise people that they can't rely on the vendor saying, oh, we're in compliance with data privacy laws around the world. I've seen time and time again that not being the case. Also, there can be some real sticky situations with expatriates and foreign applicants, folks applying for positions in the U.S. from outside the U.S. You really have to think about the requirements of both the location of the applicant and the location of the job.
Now, we've been talking a lot about the background checks at the front end before they take place, but do you have to tell the applicant why they weren't offered the position if it results from a troublesome background check?
Great question. It is usually neither required nor recommended to disclose that an adverse action was based on the results of a background check. Very different from the U.S. But again, it's this timing issue, where in the U.S. often employers will give a conditional offer conditioned on the background check not having negative results. As discussed a little bit earlier, it's much more difficult to conceal that the decision not to hire was based on the background check if that check is done after a conditional offer has already been made. I should note here, too, that it gets even harder if you have to conduct a background check on a current employee and you're outside the United States, let's say a job position changes or something like that, or there's a new requirement or something along those lines, to do a background check on a current employee and have negative results in many jurisdictions, it will be very difficult to terminate that employee for cause. The company will be on the hook for termination without cause.
Just in closing, Erica, what would be your biggest piece of advice for multinational employers when recruiting new talent in light of the differences between U.S. law and what it is abroad when conducting background checks?
I would say to be sure to get advice on the front end before entering into a full-scale program of global background checks. It's also recommended to have consent forms and applications reviewed. And I always recommend including statements that incorrect or misleading information provided may result in non-hiring or termination of employment to the extent permitted by applicable law. But the main thing is getting the advice up front, because what you don't want to do is go ahead and conduct a background check that may not be legal, and especially if it turns up information that you want to act on, because that actually can result in what we would think of here as kind of fruit of the poisonous tree, and it may be impossible to actually rely on information that the company has impermissibly obtained.
Okay, well, we'll let that be the last word. Erica Collins co-chairs the International Labor and Employment Practice Group at Proskauer Rose in New York. Erica, thanks so much for your insights.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure working with you.
I'm David Weisenfeld. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Continue checking our website regularly for more programs on key employment topics affecting HR. Recent podcasts include Top Telecommuting Issues Affecting Employers and Why Social Media Policies Are a Bad Idea. The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about ExpertHR, our subscription offering, or our new 50-state employee handbook, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847. Copyright 2015, all rights reserved.